Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV. And, you know, I had some people asking me, hey, Ron, is there a way where I could take a workflow and kind of think of it like a way to run a batch job? So maybe I've got some work I want to schedule to run at certain times or certain intervals. Maybe these intervals are a very long time. And I would like my job to start and then, do a little bit of work, maybe wait for a while, an hour, 2 hours, 10 hours, whatever, and then come back again. Now, the thing is that the machine it's running on might reboot or restart or whatever. And so I have to be sure that when the system boots up, that this process will wake up when it's time to wake up, do its work, and then go back to sleep. And of course, you could write something like this with a Windows service, or if you're on Windows Azure, you can have a worker role that does this. But what I wanted to do was do this with a workflow and to see how we could do it with a workflow service. So here's the thing, the requirements I was thinking of. First of all, I have to be able to start the job on command and be able to say start now or start at some point in the future. And that the job would do some work and then and periodically wake up and do some more work. The other thing I want to be able to do is query the job at any given point to kind of query its status and say, like, where are you? And then the third thing is I want to be able to cancel the job at any point. So I could send a message to say, stop doing what you're doing and let's move on from there. So Friday morning, I decided I'm going to write this today, and I got most of it written on Friday. It's now Sunday, and I kind of finished it up in little spurts over the weekend. But I'm going to show you what I've got. Now, this isn't perfect. It's a start. And I did some things a little weird because I didn't want to involve a third or a second database. So this does rely on the monitoring database of Windows Server App Fabric to get some information. But here's what I've got. It's this little web page where you can create a batch job and it just counts. So it's going to count up to some number and it will delay between counts. And so, by default it's 1 second. But I did a test overnight where I had it delay for, I think, a minute and count to 10,000. And then I rebooted the machine and, when it would boot back up, it would come alive and keep counting. So it totally works. And then you can say when you want it to start. Now, when you submit a job, so if I submit a job right now, let me submit one. You see it gets added to the list of jobs. And here's the one we just submitted. So its current count when it started was one. And there's the information about its last update and so forth. Now, if I click refresh here, we see that it's now at 14, right? So what's happening is that when I click refresh, every time we refresh this, I'm sending messages to those jobs and saying, what's your status? Where are you at? So it tells me, where it's at. So now we see it's at 29. And then if I want to stop this job, I can click stop here. And so it got to 35 and then it stopped, right? So if I look here, I see that that job is now removed. Now, down here in the lower part, you see it shows active workflow instances and batch job events. These things it gets out of the AppFabric monitoring store. And I put this note here because sometimes it takes a very long time before the events show up in the AppFabric monitoring store. So you can see I'm getting information about things that happened, and here's the job that just stopped, right? It seems to depend on how busy things are. If jobs are stopped, then it gives up a lot easier. That's pretty much it. Now I've got this page set to refresh every 20 seconds, so that way I could start up a job and then go away and come back and see it, when it starts. So let's see. If we uncheck this box and say we want to start the job at 149, if I say submit, we see that this job went in the queue. Its current count is zero because it hasn't started counting yet, and it will start at 149. And so there have been no updates to this, so it kind of has that default time there, right? While we're waiting for that, let's look at the workflow service and see how this works. So if I come in, here's our workflow service, and the way this works is I send in a request to start a job. And so I've created a variable, I call it batch request. It's of type batch request. And it contains everything about this job, like How high do you want to count? What's the delay time? When do you want to start it? So when I receive that, I create this object, a batch info response, and I create it out of the batch request. So since I'm running in the debugger here, you can't see this. So let's stop running in the debugger. Now, my jobs are going to keep running because they're in the IIS worker process, okay? So I'm running with IIS right now. All right, so let's look in here at the response. We'll see the value. Okay, so we see what I did is I knew up a batch info response, and then I used the VB syntax with, and then I use initializer to copy things out of the request, like when do we start, how high are we counting to, and what's the delay. Okay, so I knew up that response, and then I use a little trick to get the workflow instance ID out of the context. And so if you want to get the workflow instance ID, I create a little code activity. I just come in and grab the context and get the workflow instance ID, and I store that in this out argument called instance ID. All right, and then I have some custom tracking things. So one is I track the request. I emit a custom tracking record so we can see what was requested. And then I send back a response. Okay, and that initial response says, okay, here's what I'm going to do, so the person that submitted it sees that. Now, where this gets interesting is because now that we've received this request, now we want to start. And remember I said I want to do the work, I want to be able to query the status of the job, and I want to be able to stop it. So this calls for a parallel. So this parallel is stop query or work. All right. So if I come in here and we look at this, collapse it so we can see. In this parallel, we have the stop branch where we're going to handle the stop message, the query branch, and the work branch. So here's the stop branch. We simply schedule a receive message for the stop job message. Okay. So what this is going to do is it will set a bookmark saying, okay, I can receive the stop job message. When it gets that, what it does is it sets this variable called stop job to true. It sends back a response saying, okay, well, I'm stopping at this point, so it returns the count and so forth. And it tracks that it stopped the job. Now, because this message is not the first message, it has to have correlation. And so if we look at, not correlation initializer, here's the correlates on. So what it does is it uses the handle of the job ID, which is the workflow instance. Okay, so when you want to cancel, you pass in the GUID that represents the workflow instance that you want to cancel, and it cancels it. All right, and then on the query branch, it's much the same kind of thing. Now, this one, I put it inside of a while loop, and you say, why did you do that? Well, because you can query as many times as you want. The stop is a one-time thing. So what happens as far as the parallel's concerned is that when you do a stop, this thing is over. In fact, if we look at the parallel, we look at its completion condition, we see its completion is stop job or if we've exceeded the max count. Okay. Now the query branch, we want you to be able to query and query and query as many times as you want. So I put it in a while loop. So what we do is we say if we're not stopping the job, and we're less than the total count, then what we're going to do is schedule a receive for query job. So if somebody sends one of those, we simply are going to return the current batch response object, which will have the count and the last update and everything. So we'll just return it. Then the while loop will come around again, and we'll schedule receive again. So it's always waiting to receive a message. All right, so that's the query branch. And now if we look at the work branch, let's double-click this to drill into it. So the first thing I did is I want to calculate the start delay. Now, when I pass in the value for when do you want to start, it's actually a date time, right? So what I have to do is calculate a delay between now and the start time. So to calculate the delay, I do this. I say start at dot subtract date time now. Okay. Now there's a possibility that this could yield a negative value if it was already past the start time. And I found that if you call delay With a negative value, it will throw an exception and abort your workflow. So I have to put this inside of an if condition. So I say, okay, if the start delay is, which is a time span, is greater than the time span from second zero, so kind of an empty time span, then we're going to wait for this start at event. So this will delay until whenever the start thing occurs. Then after that, we just trace that we're doing some work, and then we come into this while loop where we're counting. And so I again have not stop job in here, although that's probably not necessary, because if the stop branch stops the workflow, we're going to exit the parallel and the parallel branch will cancel this. But I put it in here just, you know, for completeness. Now, inside the sequence, what I do is I set the last update in the batch response to date time now. I update the count, I trace some work, and then I delay for the delay amount of the each iteration. And then eventually we'll exceed the count, and then we'll track this final message that the job is complete. All right, so that's the work branch. All right, so let's run this again. And we see that we had a job that completed at 150. So that's the one that we scheduled to start earlier. Now, if I go back a ways on there. Okay, here it is. So this is the one we submitted that started at 149. And so then it did its start, right? Okay, so let's do another one. And we'll just submit batch here. And if we refresh it, we'll see once again that it's counting. Now, I know there's one thing you're worried about. Okay, great. I see how this works. What happens if we did an IIS reset? Okay, that's a good question. What happens if we did that? Let's do an IIS reset. Because normally, if I just had this running in an app domain in IIS, this would blow it away, right? We've just lost our app domain. Nothing's going to work. And the whole thing would restart, right? So what happens to our thing? Well, we see that our submitted jobs thing is now empty, right? Because we lost the session state that we were getting that from. Now, once the workflow instances, yeah, see, there it is, and we got a hold of this from the tracking date, and we see that our job kept counting, right on through. So it's up to 22 there. This thing is able to keep working even through things like IIS reset. I would do a reboot, but it would stop the recording. Now, how does that keep going? Here's what happens. Whenever the system comes up, there is this workflow management service. In fact, let me show you the service. Okay, here's my services applet. And if we look here, we see the App Fabric workflow management service. Now, what this thing does is when it comes up, every so often, it says to the persistence store, hey, persistence store, do you have any workflow instances that need to run? Now, the persistence store looks and says, well, do I have any workflows that had timers that were pending? And if they have a durable timer and the time is passed, then it will say, yes, I have one, and here it is. And then the workflow management service will send a control message to load that service up and resume it. And so really, I don't have to worry about when after the thing reboots, do I have to automatically start this again or something like that. The workflow management service will handle starting this thing up again whenever the timers are expired. So that's how you get it going again. So if you wanted to use this, basically all you got to do is change your little, change this work branch. And somewhere in here, do the work that you want to do, and this will give you a good place to start. Hope that helps you. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.